Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And yep, here it is. I just Googled gun sales. And for example, Fox 34 News, Fox Lubbock, from Lubbock, Texas, foxlubbock.com, gun sales spike following Connecticut shooting. So I don't even have to read the article, right? Because you figure out the rest of it from there. And I want to promise you that we will do a good mental health segment in the next day or two and try to answer the question that I posed a minute ago, which is, if gun policy is not the only policy level on which we need to respond to things like this, but also need to respond with something about mental health, what is it? What are the solutions that are out there? What are the policy recommendations that are out there? What are the obstacles to enacting those policy recommendations? How much does anybody think they would actually prevent incidents like this? So we'll talk about that tomorrow or the next day, I promise. And for right now, from time to time on this show, we open up our phones on Mondays to hear from listeners about what was discussed in your religious services over the weekend. This weekend, spiritual leaders were tasked with comforting parishioners in this especially troubling time in light of Friday's news. So we're going to open up the phones on this for the next portion of the show to ask what words, what themes emerged over the weekend in your places of worship. What did your priest, your pastor, your imam, your rabbi, or any other leader have to say? Regardless of your affiliation, call us up and report in at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And any religious leaders yourselves, how do you find words to comfort your parishioners or to make sense of the senseless in a case like this? What did you end up saying from the pulpit over the weekend? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I've already heard more than one person say, well, this shows that there either is no God, or if there is a God, he's malevolent. So I'm sure you had to at least address that idea in some of your congregants' minds after something like this. 212-433-WNYC. For religious leaders or anybody who attended services over the weekend, there was that interfaith service at Newtown High School last night where President Obama joined religious leaders from several denominations and provided his own words of comfort. And this isn't the gun control clip that everybody's replaying from Obama last night. This is not the policy portion of his appearance there last night that we're about to air. This isn't even about mental health policy. But President Obama, I thought, and many people thought, was so moving, just as kind of a community leader, a spiritual leader, a lay spiritual leader, in a sense, up there last night, that I want to play 2 minutes of the president's remarks that are getting much less attention but are really beautiful, and I think you'll enjoy hearing. So here's about 2 minutes of President Obama as pastor, as America's counselor-in-chief last night.
We know our time on this earth is fleeting. We know that we will each have our share of pleasure and pain, that even after we chase after some earthly goal, whether it's wealth or power or fame or just simple comfort, we will in some fashion fall short of what we had hoped. We know that no matter how good our intentions, we'll all stumble sometimes in some way. We'll make mistakes. We'll experience hardships. And even when we're trying to do the right thing, we know that much of our time will be spent groping through the darkness, so often unable to discern God's heavenly plans. There's only one thing we can be sure of, and that is the love that we have for our children, for our families, for each other. The warmth of a small child's embrace That is true. The memories we have of them, the joy that they bring, the wonder we see through their eyes, that fierce and boundless love we feel for them, a love that takes us out of ourselves and binds us to something larger. We know that's what matters. We know we're always doing right when we're taking care of them, when we're teaching them well, when we're showing acts of kindness. We don't go wrong when we do that.
Very moving language from the president in Newtown last night, acting as counselor in chief. And now to your calls on what you heard at your place of worship over the weekend, or what you said if you are a member of the clergy. 212-433-WNYC. Our lines are full. So as people finish up, you can get in at 212-433-9692. And Karen and Teaneck, you're on the air. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I went to Friday night services, and we had a potluck dinner before services, and my rabbi asked me, she gave me a sheet. She asked if I would please read some words that were written by another rabbi specifically for in the event of a school shooting. And I was so horrified that such a thing had even been written. I read it to myself first because the rabbi wasn't sure if we should proceed with it. And I read it, and I told her, I can't read this, because when something so horrifying happens, the words that you say have to be so incredible, so right, and these just weren't. And I thought that it was better just not to. She agreed with me, and she did address the issue less formally in her sermon, but I think there's nothing to say.
Karen, thank you very much. You were eloquent in saying there was nothing to say. Paula in Madison, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi, good morning. I was at my parish church this Sunday at Mass, and our pastor brought up something that we all need to think about as a nation. We are waging a war now against this culture of death that has been formed in the last 25, 30 years. We are in a very secular nation now where religion is seen as politically incorrect. We're taking God out of everything. The pro-choice movement is so strong. Recently, the pro-life license plates that they were trying to sell in North Carolina were banned, unconstitutional. They're taking God out of schools. There's just a lot of secularism and the breakdown of the family and how we need to evangelize and bring religion back into our culture. You know, guns have been around forever. This is not a gun control issue. What has changed? What variable is different in the past 25, 30 years? There's always been divorce. There's always been autism. There's always been dysfunction. There's always been guns. We're getting away from religion. We're getting away from the family. You know, back in the 50s, you had Fulton Sheen on prime time, 8 o'clock NBC, talking about God and choosing life. We are way far away from that now.
So did your priest actually make the point from the pulpit that abortion rights can somehow be connected with the shooting in Connecticut? Paula,
you
there?
He was speaking in general. Yes, he was speaking in general about how our culture is more like a culture of death now. He didn't speak specifically to abortion, but everyone in the audience knew what he was talking about. I mean, there's so much violence on television, in the movies, in video games. You know, it's even our president has swung so far to the left with his liberal beliefs. Religion is out of the picture in this country, and it's extremely important to get back to that.
Paula, I'm gonna leave it there. Go ahead and finish up real quick.
Just getting back to our spiritual beliefs as a country. And religion being this so politically incorrect thing to talk about.
Thank you very much. Tom on Long Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how are you?
Good. You were a church, a Catholic church too, right?
Yes. So I was there on Sunday, and it was actually a mass that's usually designed for the children in the parish. So instead of each Sunday, the priest usually has one of the grades, either first, second, third grade, and so on, come up on the altar, on the stage, and he frames his homily or the sermon based on, you know, the scripture that was read that week, but, you know, in terms of in language that the children can understand. But this past week, he did the same thing. He did cut it short, and actually he had all the children come up on stage, and you could see that it was not nearly enough room for all the children, but he had all the children come up on stage. He did his regular sermon, and then before ending, he said he asked all the parents for when the children came back to sit back with their parents for the parents to give each of their children the biggest hug mm-hmm. and kiss that they can, and be thankful for the days that, and the lives that you have with each other.
Did he talk explicitly about the shootings in Connecticut, which maybe a lot of these little kids who were brought up hadn't heard about yet?
No, he didn't. He didn't say it outright, but, you know, and maybe he didn't do it that way because it was the children's mass, but in an instant, everyone, you know, you could look around you, and in an instant, everyone knew exactly why he was doing this.
Yes.
And then at the end, he, you know, the most direct reference, you know, he made was, you know, to just pray for everyone who can't do the same. And I thought it was very poignant that, you know, they obviously, I guess because it was a children's mass, they try to stay out of the politics out of it. But I think that's what counts, you know, and I think, you know, to make a political issue about it, I think just something needs to be done about gun control, about, you know, like you said before, the mental health. You know, I used to be a member of the NRA, of the NRA. I was on a rifle team in college.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think anyone needs to have, you know, handguns and magazines that can hold 100 shots and things like that. So,
Tom, thanks
thank
so
you.
Much for your call. I really appreciate it. Here's Braxton in Astoria. You're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. I was at church yesterday for a Lessons and Carols service, and at the beginning of the sermon, the pastor brought up the events in Connecticut, and he gave this quote from The Lord of the Rings that says, always after a defeat and a respite, the shadow takes another shape and grows again. And he was talking about, especially at Christmas, that we should be mindful of Christmas not being a way of dealing with the specific incarnation of the shadow or evil or the latest horrible thing that's happened that always goes beyond whatever we've become used to or think is even possible, but that it's God's way of dealing with evil for good.
Thank you very much. Jamil in Piscataway, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jamil.
Hi, good morning. I pastor a church in South Jersey, and one of the focal points of the message yesterday was just understanding that we need to view these circumstances as opportunities to reach out, to seek peace from God and not retreat from problems. So much of our contemplative and spiritual life is rooted in trying to avoid things or saying we just need to cut things out. And in fact, if we are seeking the peace of God, we would be able to encounter even atrocities as these and respond with love and respond with forgiveness and respond with kindness and respond with patience and understanding rather than, you know, descending into partisan politics or bickering or whatever. So part of my call was just to look for peace even in the midst of these circumstances, look for opportunities to hear God, to respond to God, to embrace God and to embrace others.
Do you not need some kind of cultural critique woven into that general message, though, whether it's the kind that we heard from the caller from Madison, New Jersey, about there not being enough God in our society now? We have some other callers and webpage commenters who are pushing back against her and her attempt to tie culture of death and abortion rights to what happened in Connecticut. But whether it's that on the one hand, culture of death, or whether it's, you know, the more liberal notion that America is a violent society and so guns need to be controlled, can you just say lean back on God and that that's enough, and seek peace rather than some kind of more cultural critique?
Well, I wouldn't say that I was stepping away from a cultural critique in that sense. I think it's a very easy comment to say, hey, there is no God and we have a culture of death. I think the challenge is death has always been present and death is a reality that each of us face. The question is whether or not we can encounter and respond to that with depth or with maturity, with understanding or with a sense of soberness about it. The challenge that I think is for many of us is very easy to become numb. So one of the things I was looking at in my message is even how something like this is contextualized in what we've seen. I was in high school when Columbine happened. Mm-hmm. I was a senior in high school when Columbine right. happened. You watch these things and it's very easy to become numb. It's very easy to shut down. It's very easy to just be reactive. And in many ways, our reactions don't end up being constructive because we're not... We respond just from a place of anger or from a place of emotionalism, and God doesn't enter the conversation in that way because it just becomes a God becomes a filter for whatever our opinion or our bias was beforehand.
Jamil,
so if I didn't agree with social trends, well, God now is saying, hey, that's wrong. You know, that God just becomes the basis and the foundation for my disagreement.
You don't want to go there.
Jamil, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We'll continue with more of your calls in a minute. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and in our last few minutes today, we'll keep taking your calls on what you heard in church, synagogue, mosque, or any other religious institution that you may have attended over the weekend as people try to make sense of or at least cope with what happened in Connecticut on Friday. You can continue this after the show on Facebook or on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at Brian Lehrer or like me on Facebook at Brian Lehrer, WNYC, and there's a lot on the Facebook page on this right now. Shakeba writes, members of my local mosque in North Stamford attended an interfaith service in Norwalk yesterday. Yes, the issue was discussed at the mosque. Like parents across our beautiful state, we are all sad, shocked, and now angry. She adds, we as Americans need gun control. Also on her Facebook page, Laurie writes, I specifically stayed home from church yesterday because I did not want to hear a sermon about there are no answers and hug your children and God is here for us. It all seemed too trite and robotic. I decided I would stay home and deal with my own thoughts and my own spiritual needs quietly myself, just couldn't face it publicly. And Raul writes, our rabbi wrote a passionate email saying that it's not too early to talk about gun violence. It's already too late. She referred to her email, but given the number of young kids there for Hanukkah, she addressed Newtown obliquely. We left early since we have small kids. Stephen in Pennsylvania, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. My wife was part of a program, is part of a program. We attend Torah study, and this Saturday the Torah study completely centered on the terrible incidents in Connecticut. The attitude is that God is not involved in this. He gave us free will, or she gave us free will. And then when God gave us free will, we are now in charge, and God weeps with us when terrible things happen. God has nothing to do with what's going on in events that depend upon our free will. And that's our attitude. And an additional thing, as soon as I heard this, I said, there's nothing that's going to boost Bushmaster sales more than the talk about let's do something to control the purchase of automatic weapons.
It's true, as we documented earlier, at least for the moment. Brian in Wyckoff, you're on the air. Hi, Brian.
Hi, yes. Thanks for taking my call. I went to a non-denominational church yesterday, as I do every Sunday. Our senior pastor just led the congregation in a several minutes of prayer, obviously, you know, a lot of tears, things like that. But then, you know, commented that he didn't want to dwell on it because talking about it so much and trying to explain it is just making a mockery of the situation, especially so soon after. It's just, it wouldn't be right. And trying to justify ourselves, trying to make ourselves feel better in that is in control of everything. You know, obviously that's true, but we don't want to try and make ourselves feel better about what happened.
Brian, thank you. Dave in Augusta, New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Dave, we have about a minute for you. Hi, and you're a pastor yourself?
Yes, Brian, I'm a pastor up in a Methodist church.
And you had a children's service?
We had our children's pageant this weekend, and obviously I think having the children right in front of everybody just put Friday's events in the minds of everyone. We actually followed the request of the Methodist Church in Sandy Hook, Connecticut, which asked for the Methodist churches to toll the bell 28 times on Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, usually we would start out with announcements, and we just went right into a time of prayer. And I think just that act of hearing the bell toll and giving people that space of silence.
And for the kids who didn't know, did this confront them with it?
You know, I didn't mention exactly what we were talking about, just that something happened and we were going to have this moment of mm-hmm. silence. I didn't want to be the person that was going to portray or convey this event to people who didn't know about it and wanted to protect their kids from it.
Dave, thank you very much, and good to hear that you were following the lead of the church up there. And if you're one in our audience who looks not to church but to poetry for comfort, a friend of my producer, Professor Holly Dugan from George Washington University, posted this on her Facebook page yesterday from poet, playwright, feminist Edna St. Vincent Millay, who wrote, "Down, down, down into the darkness of the grave, gently they go. The beautiful, the tender, the kind, quietly they go. The intelligent, the witty, the brave. I know, but I do not approve, and I am not resigned." Edna St. Vincent Millay. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.